Thank you. And good morning, everyone. Great to be here with you today. What a beautiful day. I was outside in the tent, so hence my delay with getting up front. I know we're excited about Jesus. Are you guys excited about Jesus? Yeah? Okay, let's have fun. This would be like a camp kind of thing, but no one in here do anything. But if you're excited about Jesus in the tent, can you put your hands together and just be excited for what Jesus is doing in your life? All right. They're mildly excited. For those in here, if you're excited about Jesus, let's put our hands together and thank the Lord this morning. God is so good. God is so good. And in case you're a competitive, just know we're all on the same team. We're the body of Christ, okay? So you're like, Jim, that was a terrible idea. We're just making sure everyone's awake. Well, we're going to be continuing our series this morning on Don't Miss Out. We'll be looking at John 15, verses 1 to 25. And we're looking at this time where Jesus is giving one of the longest discourse or sermons recorded in the book of John to his disciples. And we're taking it piece by piece. We don't want to miss out what God was showing the early disciples, the early students, because we believe that God wants to do that in our life today. And as we begin, I was reminded of a time when I was graduating. I went to a small Bible school. Many of you know this, Elam Bible Institute and College in Rochester. And I was the senior class president. And I remember I was sitting with my advisor. We're actually just sitting on a curb right next to the street. And he was asking me, he's like, Jim, what's your prayer? What's your passion to see in the senior class graduating? And I remember I've been praying. I've been thinking about it. And I was just like, I'm just praying that we'll go out and just go all around the globe, wherever the Lord leads us, men and women just preaching the gospel, feeding the poor, doing whatever God wants, healing the sick, and just seeing God's revival come. And I thought that was a really pretty good answer, right? I hope you might think that too. And then I'm like, what about you? I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, honestly, he's like, I just hope that every student that graduates from here would just spend time with Jesus on a regular routine every day, reading the Bible and praying. And I was like, what? Like, did you just get excited about, like, you know, big vision? I'm like, that's kind of small. It seemed kind of boring and very simplistic. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's like basic 101, but we're trying to see end time revival and the world change. There's some bigger things that we begin focusing on. But as I've been growing in my walk in the Lord, I realized that I think my advisor actually was more right on than my big aspiration. I was focused on a big end goal, but he was focused on the daily things, the little disciplines, the patterns of just being with Jesus, that if we don't do those basic things of being with Jesus, abiding with Jesus, those larger, loftier things that we want to see God do in our life will not be possible. So this morning, we're going to be talking about what God wants to do in our lives through abiding, and this title of the message is called Greater Fruit. So let's look at John 15, verses 1 to 25. We're going to take it in three segments. I'm going to read a little bit, share a little bit, read a little bit, share a little bit, read a little bit. So we're going to start in verse 1, and this is Jesus talking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Take a moment to pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you how you're teaching the early disciples who are following you. And God, we want to be students of you. God, we want to hear from you today. And God, would you speak to us, Lord, on how we can grow to look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk about some greater fruit. And I'm believing that God wants to do greater fruit in each one of our lives. Do you believe that this morning? That God's not done with you yet? Right? I hope so. Those out in the tent, God's not done with you yet. For those online, God's not finished with you. He has greater fruit he wants to do in you and through you. God's just not just wanting you to make a task happen on the planet. He's wanting to have a relationship with you and work inside of you. So let's look at that a little bit more this morning. So Jesus gives this illustration, this example, probably one he could just look at while walking around. Oftentimes, if you read the Gospels, Jesus is walking around places. He's not rushing. He's just walking from here, staying at a place, walking somewhere else. And he uses a lot of illustrations with all the surrounding. Maybe it's a tree or a fig tree. Maybe it's a mountain. Maybe it's a lake. Maybe it's a fish. In this case, we're looking at some branches, some vines, and some fruit, which most likely would be grapes. So Jesus gives this example of him being the vine and that we are the branches. And he uses this word over and over again, abide. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This idea of abiding, some translations will say, if you remain in me and I remain in you. Other ones might use the word a little bit more broadly, say, if you make your home in me and my home in you. It's having this intimate relationship with Jesus directly. Have this idea that we are together in Christ, abiding, spending time. And he gives this picture of the vine and the branches. And I actually forgot to bring up my branch. Would someone want to grab me a branch that's in the front row? Don't you love when you have illustrations that you leave in the front row? Boo's on it. Thanks, Boo. Yeah, a picture. I was mowing my yard yesterday, and I came across, this isn't a great illustration or vine, has come across a bush that looked beautiful, and then on the ground, I almost mowed it over. Thanks. Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate it. I almost mowed this over, but I was looking, every other part of the branch of this tree was blooming, like with all the beautiful flowers, and right now, it's gorgeous out, right? You walk anywhere, especially if you walk downtown on Elm Street, all the flowering trees. Sometimes I'll do that. You just get to appreciate it and thank God, but I was mowing my yard. I almost ran over this. And I saw it, I'm like, oh, this has got to go. And the reason why, not that I'm like a bush expert or anything, I could tell that this thing was dead because it had no budding little fruit or leaves on it, right? And a lot of you probably could figure that out. So what I was thinking, this is perfect to throw into the fire and make some s'mores. Anyone else with me? Get some marshmallows, some chocolate, your gluten-free graham crackers, right? Right? Fine, get your normal graham crackers. And I was going to use this for fire. Jesus was saying something pretty strong. One of the most convicting passages or verses in the Bible for me is this passage. When I found out I had to preach it, I was talking to two of my mentors, Dave and Gene Coles. I'm like, I don't want to preach it. Because, honestly, if you're going to preach something, you got to live something. And this can be a hard passage to live. Because sometimes, if you're like me, it's easier to keep going and going and going and trying to make fruit by myself instead of abiding. Does anyone have trouble with rushing a little bit through your day? I know I do. It's like, Lord, I got great goals and plans. I want to be part of your kingdom. And I'm going so fast that I can't abide. That's okay. I'll just skip that step. But I'm still going to make the fruit. Jesus says so clearly in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And then this verse, this is the verse that, you know, I'm like, Lord, I've been growing on this week more and more. It says, for apart from me, you can do, what is it? Nothing. That's pretty sobering, right? You ever get to that place where just like, I'm just going to do life on my own. I know the Lord, but I just kind of want to detach and do me. This is what doing me looks like after a little while, right? It might not look this instantly, but when you look at this, it's like, wow, this is not what I would call greater fruit. This would be a dead branch on a bush, or in this case, a branch on a vine. I'm going to put this down here for a second. But that's not what God's calling us to do. He mentions Jesus, say, abide in me. But he mentions that the Heavenly Father, he's a vine dresser. So he does this pruning. So things that don't produce fruit like this takes away. But get this. The fruitful branches on the vine are actually pruned back to result in greater fruit. Isn't that cool? And I don't know much about gardening, but I've seen other people do gardening, and, you know, you read Wikipedia. You learn things, right, online sometimes. I've seen it. You prune stuff back to create greater fruit. I don't know about you, but I'm not a huge fan of pruning in my life, right, about your life, right, when pruning's coming in. But God's seeing things in your life and in my life and our life. He sees greater fruit potential. But if we are abiding in Jesus, he will put us in situations that give us an opportunity to be pruned back a little bit. And pruning hurts, right? When you get things cut back, things are moving back. You're like, Lord, this is, what are you doing? Maybe you're in that season right now where it just feels like you're being pruned all the time. The branch is being pruned, like, Jesus, is there going to be anything left? How much pruning can you do? But God, I believe, is saying, encouraging the disciples and students here and us today, that that pruning is done not to set you back in a place that you won't recover, but to set you up for greater fruit. Amen? So let's talk about greater fruit for a second. Oftentimes in this situation, the fruit that is showing is the Holy Spirit indwelling characteristic of Christ. One of the manifestations of that that are most common in this passage is actually love, and we'll see that in a moment. Other fruits you might see, we learn later in Paul's letter to the church at Galatia in chapter 5, he says this about the fruit of the Spirit. The first one he talks about is, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you're lacking in any of those, the great thing is you don't have to muster up energy to try to make that happen. Jesus just invites you to abide, to be with him, to let him work within you and through you, that he would produce greater fruit. The fruit could also look at that Jesus came and had those characteristics. This is the same Holy Spirit that was working in Christ. It's the same Holy Spirit that works in us, which blows away my mind every time I think about that. But Jesus went on a mission to seek and save the lost. And you can look at fruit from that element as well, of men and women who are coming to know Christ, and you're seeing a harvest of righteousness. I'm sure we have friends and family members and coworkers, and for those finishing up your college, probably roommates or faculty, staff that are on your heart and mind, who have yet to know Jesus. Jesus is on a mission, and God invites us to be part of his mission to reach others for his kingdom purposes. There's greater fruit that God wants to do in my life. There's greater fruit that God wants to do in your life. The question is, are we going to spend time to abide? Abiding is a slower process. If you're looking for fast food fruit, that's hard to say. Fast food fruit, there we go. You're going to be disappointed, right? You want instant results. Jesus, I spent 1 minute with you, and why are the results not coming in? McDonald's can handle this in 3 minutes. I did my fast food abide. Abiding is a lot more of a lifestyle, and trusting that I'm more interested in being with Jesus and trusting him with the results than just going to Jesus to see results. Are you with me? And there's a difference. If you're going to Jesus, I just want Jesus for something you can give versus just going to Jesus because I just want to be with him, the one who loves you and cares for you. So we see that some of the fruit in this passage are specifically love. Abide in my love, you abide in Jesus. But you also see that it actually brings Jesus joy that we do so. He says, my joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. Other translations will say mature as you're abiding in Christ. It's so easy in our pace of life nowadays to be so distracted by things. And I'm just, might as well just be preaching the message at myself. Can be so distracted by things that we have settled for lesser things or people to bring us the joy and satisfaction that only Jesus can bring. And we can tell that, and I can tell that, by where my thoughts are, by where my schedule is. I was recently challenged in a coaching group I'm with online to go through the book of Acts and read a chapter a day 3 times a day, which doesn't maybe sound that hard, but honestly, just carving out 3 different times a day for me to read, at first my mind's like, 1 time is my normal. But 2 times, okay. 3 times, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm used to doing some other things in the evening. But I tell you, every time I pull away to be with Jesus and abide, I never regret spending time with Christ. You ever see that? There's so many other things we can do. Some things are not great. Some things are sinful. Some things are just good. But they might not be the best of abiding. And we can miss out on that greater fruit that Jesus wants to do in us. Let's continue reading in verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Or once again, remain, or some translations say not spoil. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. And now if you were here a couple weeks ago, you might remember, I heard Jesus sharing this earlier, actually in John 13. He says, a new commandment I give you is that you love one another as I have loved you. I think today is a great day to say, God, Lord, is there any areas in my life where I'm not loving others the way, not that I want to love them, but the way that you love them? And just as a quick reminder, Jesus came and died for, because of love, an entire world that rebelled against him. So you're like, what's the standard of love? That's the standard. So think of the person you like least like. Jesus would come and die for that person and love them. We're in a season, especially in our country right now, and Danny already articulated it so well. Thank you, Danny. There's a lot of hate. I think we all could agree, we need a whole lot more love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? A whole lot more love. And Jesus is saying this over and over. And if you ever find yourself reading the Bible and being like, I already know that, that's really good. Because as you read the Bible over and over again, hopefully we will remember. But remember, God's asking us not just to know things. He wants to see students who apply his word into action on Monday and all throughout the week. Jesus refers to his disciples as students, not just as servants, but as friend. For some of us, that can be hard to think of God as friend. Maybe your parent or parents were great, maybe they weren't. And sometimes we can have this idea of going to a heavenly father kind of more just as a servant or someone that's not really wanted. But Jesus is saying, if you're doing what I'm doing, like, I want to call you friend, that we are a friend of God. Jesus mentions that he chose us. We didn't even choose him. Sometimes we can live our lives as if God is supposed to just be making all the decisions that we want to be had made. But actually, Jesus chose us, and he appointed us, you, each one of us, those in the tent online, to go and bear much fruit. The whole big picture that Jesus is pointing here, that as we're bearing fruit, as Christ is working in us, and our life is looking more like Jesus, and we're doing more of the things that Jesus asked us to, that God receives more glory. And isn't that what this is all about? Giving more glory to God, amen? That he would be glorified, magnified, lifted high. And man, I'm thinking, Lord, help me just bear good fruit as I abide, because I want to see my Heavenly Father receive more glory, more honor, more praise. And Jesus is saying, as you abide and that fruit is growing, God will receive more glory. And that's what we want to see. This is the second time Jesus mentions that the Father will give you whatever you ask, which that's a kind of a fun thing. As you're abiding in Jesus and Jesus in you, and as you're aligning with Christ and his priorities, the invitation is to pray and to ask for anything. And it's neat, because sometimes we can look at that and think, well, I just want to pray according to my agenda and my plan. But as you spend time with Jesus, you don't just get so in love with his plan and his mission that you're like, God, I want to be praying for your kingdom purposes. One of the neat things that the Lord can do, we see in the Gospels, is that sometimes there's people who are sick, and Jesus would go up to them, and you would pray and see them get healed, which is pretty awesome. That's the same spirit that lives in us if we know Christ. And so here's a practical illustration of this. I remember I was at a teaching once, we were talking about praying for the sick, and it was so good. Because remember, when you're praying for the sick, and maybe there's people in your family, people you work with, maybe you meet people on the street, and the Lord leads you to pray for them, that we can't heal anyone. But Jesus can, right? Jesus can, and he does. And so a great thing to ask if you're interacting with someone who's sick is just ask the Lord, what do you want to do in this person's life? Jesus didn't heal every single person on the planet while he was on here, but he did heal some. So a good question to ask, Lord, what do you want to do in their life? And if God's saying, I want to heal this person's arm the way it's broken, then grab onto that in faith and just pray for God's kingdom and God's will to come. Does that make sense? It's literally asking the Heavenly Father, what do you want to do? And then let's pray that. And God can back up his promises. so we can ask our Heavenly Father because he cares and be part of his kingdom expansion. The last piece I'm going to hit on is that verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Whew, here we go. If you were the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the world that I said, the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who has sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I have not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. I appreciate Jesus. He's just real with his disciples and students. He's real with us today. That if you're living this life of abiding in Jesus and living fully for Christ and loving Jesus more than the world, there's going to be some that the Heavenly Father is drawing to himself that will respond that, I want to know this God. I want to know this kind of love. But there will be also other people that will meet that will literally, as Jesus is saying, will literally hate those who love Jesus. He's given a warning, an aha, that when persecution comes, it's not actually unexpected. Jesus said ahead of time, we'll face persecution. But to know that they also hated Jesus first before they ever started hating those that follow after him. In our country, our persecution level is pretty low compared to other countries. We're literally, I was just hearing one pastor was mentioning, I believe it was in the Horn of Africa, there were six pastors who were taken and were going to be literally tried and then martyred for their faith, for loving Jesus. So just for their love of Jesus, they literally, this passage was being fulfilled. They're literally going to be persecuted and killed because of knowing Christ. We see a lot of the early followers, most of them were persecuted. A lot of them were martyred for simply loving Jesus. Jesus said it so well. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. The interesting thing is Jesus is not saying resort then to hate, which is a very natural thing. If someone hates you, then you hate back. Jesus is saying, remember, to love like Jesus has loved the planet. He died for the very ones who hated him. He forgave the very ones who were crucifying him on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is only possible through the Holy Spirit working through us and in us. One passage example in Acts 5, the apostles were persecuted. It says this. It says, then they, the apostles, left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Wow. When's the last time we've been persecuted for Christ and came out rejoicing? Thank you, Jesus, that I'm able to align with my Savior. I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time, so I'm wrapping up for a closing song. But I mentioned in the opening story about my advisor, my thoughts on, you know, what could I see the class do that I was part of. I so appreciate my advisor that, wow, just a daily rhythm of abiding with Jesus, spending time in God's word and in prayer would result in a world being reached for Christ. As we think of our own lives, my hope and prayer is that every single person here has a wonderful time with Jesus every day. You love the word of God more than anything else. Hearing the voice of your Heavenly Father is like the most exciting thing for you. I know for some of us, maybe we're struggling to get there. For other of us, maybe we're not even trying. Other of us, we're succeeding. I would hope that all of us could be honest before God today. Say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to see greater fruit. I want to abide and spend time with you in your word, in prayer, and praise to get to know you more.